بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی ونسلم علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وانک لعلی خلق عظیم وقال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اکمل المؤمنین ایمانا احسنهم خلقا او کما قال علیہ الصلاۃ والتسلیم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. Dear respected friends, elders, today inshallah we want to talk about that branch of deen, that part of our deen that unfortunately due to our ignorance and unfortunately due to our laziness and due to our neglect, many of us have completely forgotten that this is also a part of my deen. This is also a branch from the branches of deen. Whereas, my dear friends, this branch of deen, what we are going to talk about today, is so important, that give the example of your iman, of your deen to a house. Imagine having a house without a roof, how incomplete would that house be? You have a whole house, full structure on the sides, the walls, the four walls, everything is there, the windows are there, the doors are there, but this house does not have a roof, it does not have a shelter. How incomplete is this property, my dear friends? Without this branch of deen in our lives, this is how incomplete our deen would remain as well. Somebody is constructing his house, or from scratch he has made a house, and you drive by the house, your friends ask you, that, oh, you know, your brother or your uncle, he's making that house, how far has he reached? So you would say, yeah, I drove by today, and the scaffolding is still up, you know, much work is still left. Second time you drive by, somebody asks you again, you would say, no, all four walls are up, but there's still a lot of work left. You know, the roof is still not done, there's so much work left. Third time you drive by, people ask you, you say, no. Very soon his house is going to be complete. You say, why? What's the big difference? You say, because now, yesterday when I drove by, the whole roof was up as well. When the roof is there, you can say majority of the work is nearly done now. The majority of the work is nearly done. That's how important the roof is for the house, my dear friends. There's no roof, you say there's no protection for the house. Anytime it will rain, and anytime, you know, it will weaken up the walls in the house, weaken up the structure in the house. What kind of house is there without any roof? This is how our Islam will be, how our deendari would be, how our religiousness would be without husne akhlaq. Without good characteristics, my dear friends, without good manners, without good social etiquettes, this will be the state of our iman. We may have namaz, one pillar. We may have done our hajj, another pillar. We may give our zakah. We may fast in the month of Ramadan. We may have all of this. But without our akhlaq, our whole deen will remain ugly. Our whole deen will remain incomplete. This is how important our akhlaq is. My dear friends, unfortunately, many of us, we have reached this level now, or we have this understanding, due to our ignorance, our understanding is, oh, because I pray my namaz, I'm a very, very good Muslim. Oh, I have a beard, and I wear a jubbah, so that means I'm a very, very good Muslim. Or I go out in jama'at, or I spend so much in the path of Allah, or I am running the masjid, so that means I'm a very, very good Muslim. I have made my thermometer, or my measuring stick, for good Islam and good Muslim, my beard, a few a'mal I have in my life, and I think I'm a very, very good Muslim. I'm a very, very good Muslim. Did you know? Your namaz, Actually, not just your namaz, all of your ibadat, all of your ibadat, your hajj, your spending in the path of Allah, your fasting, long, long hours in the summer months, all of this ibadah, you can say, is only 20% of your Islam. Because Islam has five massive branches. Islam can be split into five big branches. Branch number one, aqa'id, your beliefs. Your aqa'id, this is one branch of Islam. Second branch, your ibadat, your worships. Third branch of Islam, which many of us have forgotten to be a part of deen as well, mu'amalat, transactions, the way I deal with people. Are my transactions halal or haram? I've bought a house right now, have I bought it in the right way? I've bought insurance for my car, have I bought the right level of insurance? Or I'm about to make a claim. Is it permissible for me to make this claim? Or I'm about to give my flat or my house on rent. Am I not going against any clause, any conditions of the government, of the law of the land? Am I not breaking any laws whilst I am doing this? So mu'amalat is a big part of our deen. Mu'amalat is a great part of our deen. Then, mu'asharat. The social part of your life. Are you dealing with your relations properly? Allah Ta'ala has made it necessary for you to deal with, to be more considerate with certain relations, your blood relations. How do you deal with your parents? How are you with your children? How are you with the people around you? Mu'asharat. And then, the fifth branch of Islam, my dear friends, is husn-e akhlaq. Husn-e akhlaq. Good characteristics, good akhlaq, good manners. This is a very, very big part of our deen. A very, very big part of our deen, my dear friends. Today, inshallah, I will share with you 8 big points from the Quran and Hadith. 8 big points from the Quran and Hadith from where we will realize how important and how much of a level akhlaq has in our religion. How important, how much importance does akhlaq have in our religion? First of all, my dear friends, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the purpose of him being sent to mankind. One of the objectives of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him into mankind. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of his objectives. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Four objectives Allah mentions in the Quran. What were the purposes of sending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the ummah? One of them, يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ He will recite the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the medium between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation. Bringing this message down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this creation, Allah ta'ala chose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would purify the hearts of the people, would purify the akhlaq of the people. He would do their tazkiyah. He would do their tazkiyah from inside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make these people much more better people. He would make the companions much more better people. That's why he was able to make these same people who, the Arabs, these same people who were more wretched than animals, the same people who yesterday, they were more wretched than animals. If somebody says to you, you know, you become the Amir of this area, the king of this area, we would never let the offer down. But if I become the king, everybody would listen to me. I would have so many subjects underneath me. My dear friends, this is our state. We would be happy. The Arabs, they were so wretched, so gone. They stooped so low. No king was ready to rule over these people. No king was ready to rule over these people. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he purified these same people that they became the shining stars for the ummah. فَبِأَيِّهِ مُقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ 124,000 companions became so great. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any one of these, each and every single one of them are so great. Any one of them you choose to follow, you follow any of them, you will most definitely be guided. فَبِأَيِّهِ مُقْتَدَيْتُمْ Whoever you want to follow, follow, you will most definitely be guided. That's how great these companions became. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did their tazkiyah. Third purpose of sending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ He will teach the people the meanings of the kitab, the meanings of the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran. And وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ He will teach the sunnah to the people. He will teach the best way of life to the people. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. But I was saying, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst describing his objective, he says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ One of the main reasons why Allah ta'ala has sent me to mankind is so that I can take the good akhlaq to perfection. I can take the good akhlaq to perfection. If generosity had reached over here, Allah ta'ala made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take generosity to another level. Take kindness to another level. Take rahmat and mercy to another level. Take mehman nawazi, being hospitable to your guests. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this akhlaq to another level. So this was one of the reasons so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can perfect good characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him into the world. Another point. Deen has been defined with husne akhlaq. Deen has been defined with husne akhlaq. Let me elaborate. Once one companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, Deen kya hai? What is deen? What is deen? If somebody asks you and I, what is deen? We would say, you know, you have to believe in the kalima, or you know, you have to pray 5 times a day, or deen is you have to go for hajj. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He is asked, what is deen? Such a vast question, yet such an important question. A very, very important question. How did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answer? He says, Husnul khuluq. Husnul khuluq. Good characteristics, good akhlaq, good manners, good skills. This is deen. This is deen. From here the ulama have explained that we understand from the style of the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we get a very important indirect message. The indirect message is, those people who do not have good akhlaq in their lives, then it is just the same as saying they do not have deen in their lives. Those who don't have good akhlaq in their lives, it's just the same as saying that they do not have deen in their lives. How did the ulama get to this conclusion? How did the ulama get to this conclusion? They say there is another hadith. Wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he defines hajj by saying, hajj is arafah. Hajj is Arafah. That means you go for Hajj, you spend all your days in Mina, you go to Muzdalifah, you do the Tawaf, you do the Tawaf as Ziyarah, you go to Shaitan, and you throw the pebbles at Shaitan, you do everything, but you don't go to Arafah, will you become a Haji? You won't become a Haji. You've done everything. You spend so many days in Makkah, in Mina, in Muzdalifah, you did everything. But you didn't go to Arafah on the right time, you won't become a Haji. You won't become a Haji. And another person, he does nothing. He doesn't go to Mina, he doesn't go to Muzdalifah, he doesn't go and throw pebbles at Shaitan, he doesn't do Tawaf as Ziyarat, he does nothing. But he goes to Arafah for a split second, you tell me, will this person become a Haji or not? He will. He'll become a Haji. Yes, he'll have to give the dam, he'll have to give the penalty for not doing everything else, but still in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will become a haji. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined hajj by saying, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. No Arafah, no hajj. No Arafah, no hajj. From the same style we understand over here, no husne khuluq, no deen. No good akhlaq, no good manners in your life, there is no deen. That's how important Husni Akhlaq is for our religion, my dear friends. In another hadith, we learn, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُوضَعُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ أَثْقَلُ مِن حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. He says, there is nothing which will be more heavier tomorrow on the Day of Judgment in the scales of a believer. If I was to ask you, O people, O musallis of Darus Salam, tell me, what is the most heaviest amal? Somebody will say to me, O Imam Sahib, I pray tahajjud all year round. I think this will be the most heaviest amal in my scale of deeds. Tomorrow, my tahajjud will outweigh every other amal of mine. Somebody else will say that, no, every year I go for 40 days in the path of Allah. This is my most heaviest deed. Somebody else will say, no, I have a very, very poor neighbor. All year round I spend on my neighbor and I help my neighbor. This is my most heaviest deed. Somebody else will say, no, in a remote area of Toronto, I erected a masjid. I made a masjid. This is my most heaviest amal. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, no, the most heaviest amal is something else. مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُوضَعُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ أَثْقَلُ مِن حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ. He says, tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, there is nothing that will be put into the scales of a believer that will be more heavier than good akhlaq. Good akhlaq will be the most heaviest deed for the believer, my dear friends. Imagine how important husni akhlaq must be. Next point. You know, us believers, we rank when it comes to our iman. Someone's iman is much more better than somebody else. Somebody's iman is much more higher than somebody else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا. Those believers who are the most perfect when it comes to iman, who are the most perfect of believers, sab se zyada kamil mu'min kon hai? أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا. The most perfect of believers when it comes to iman, أَحْسَنُهُمْ أَخْلَاقًا, are those who have the best akhlaq. You want to know how good your iman is? Look at your akhlaq. If you're weak in your akhlaq, you're selfish in your akhlaq, you don't deal with people properly, when you have your faida, when you have your benefit, when you have your ulterior motive, you deal with people nicely, you're selfish. And when you don't have no benefit from no one, you don't have no gain from anybody, you brush him aside, you push him aside, you don't give way to him, you're impatient with him. So you look at your akhlaq, that's how strong and that's how complete your iman is. If your akhlaq are good, then my dear friend, take glad tidings that your iman is very, very complete. And your akhlaq are bad, you may be the best scholar of Toronto. You may be the best scholar of North America. You may be the person who gives the most time in Jama'at. You may be the person who spends the most in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your akhlaq are bad, your iman is weak. Your akhlaq are bad, my dear friends, your iman is weak. And you may be that person who spends nothing optional. He gives his zakat, he spends nothing optional. He's got no knowledge, just about sufficient amount of knowledge. He never goes out in the path of Allah. He never spends time with ulama. But his akhlaq are great. His akhlaq are great. When I mean he doesn't spend time with ulama, then he doesn't spend so much time. Otherwise, every mu'min needs a small amount of time with the ulama-i kiram. You can't be a successful believer without spending time with ulama-i kiram and without benefiting from the company of the ulama-i kiram. But this person doesn't spend excessive time, but his akhlaq are perfect. His akhlaq are the most jameel, the most beautiful. The most beautiful, then this person, his iman will be very, very complete as well. Next point. If I was to tell you, my dear friends, that, you know, do this amal and you know what you will get in return of this amal, you will be the most closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Put your hand up if you don't want to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Every believer, the most sinful believer, the most worst of believers, he will say, Ya Allah, please, tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, I want to be next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if I will be next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will get drink from the Hawd al-Kawthar. If I am next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will not come in the punishment. I will not come in the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will get space under the shade and under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who doesn't want to be next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions two things. Inna ahabbakum ilayya. Inna ahabbakum ilayya wa aqrabukum minni. Inna ahabbakum ilayya wa aqrabukum minni majalis mahasinukum akhlaqan. He says, most definitely the most beloved of you to me. From all of you, who is the most beloved to me? You know, to be the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't necessarily mean we have to be a companion. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to be an Arab. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to move to Medina Munawwara. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to pass away in Baqi and be buried in Jannatul Baqi. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to go for Umrah every year. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to don the Amama. No. To be the most beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be your a'mal and your akhlaq, my dear friends. In one hadith, you know, just yesterday we were talking about taqwa. Allah Ta'ala, if we be good in the month of Ramadan, Allah will give us the bounty and the gift of taqwa, my dear friends. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the most closest to me tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, the most closest to me tomorrow on the Day of Judgment will be Al-Muttaqoon. Al-Muttaqoon, حَيْثُ كَانُوا وَمَنْ كَانُوا. The most closest will be to me, will be the Muttaqeen. حَيْثُ كَانُوا, from wherever they may be. From wherever they may be. They may be living in Toronto. They may have never visited Arabia. They may have never visited my grave. They may have not died in Jannatul Baqi. They may not know a word of Arabic, but they have taqwa. حَيْثُ كَانُوا, wherever they may be. In this dunya, they may be the most distant from me when it comes to distance. They may be very, very far away from me, but they have taqwa. Tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, they'll be more closest to me. وَمَنْ كَانُوا, and whoever they may be. They do not have to be an Arab. They do not have to be a scholar. They do not have to be most charitable. مَنْ كَانُوا, whoever they may be, as long as they have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recognize them from miles away. And I will recognize them from miles away. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable from you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most muttaqi from you. Those who have the most taqwa, those who are the most God-fearing, those who have the least amount of sins in their lives. The least amount of sins in their lives, these are the muttaqeen. So I was saying in this hadith as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says two things. Inna ahabbakum ilayya. Verily, those from you who are the most beloved to me, who I love the most from all of you, and wa aqrabukum minni majalis, the most closest to me tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. The most closest to me tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, mahasinukum akhlaqan, are those of you who have good akhlaq. Are those of you who have good akhlaq. And my dear friends, we are deceived sometimes by shaitan. Badly deceived. We think I pray namaz, I go for hajj, I go for umrah so much, I do so much ikram for ulama, that means I'm a very, very good Muslim. If your akhlaq are bad, if your akhlaq are bad, then listen to the second part of the hadith. Listen to the second part of the hadith. The first part was, most beloved to me, most closest to me, those with good akhlaq. Second part of the hadith, وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ إِلَيَّ. وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ إِلَيَّ. The most hated from you. Who are the most, who do I hate the most from you? And وَأَبْعَدُكُمْ مِنِّي. Who will be the most furthest away from me on the Day of Judgment? Who will be the most furthest away from me on the Day of Judgment? Masawikum akhlaqan, are those people who are bad akhlaq. Those people who have bad characteristics, bad akhlaq, bad morals, bad manners, evil manners. these people will be the most hated. They are the most hated to me, and they will be the most furthest away from me tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. We don't understand how important this is, my dear friends. We don't understand how important akhlaq are for us. How much akhlaq mean to us. Adab hi se insan, insan hai. Adab hi nahi to hayawan hai. The poet says in Urdu, adab hi se insan, insan hai. Adab hi nahi to hayawan hai. It is because of this good akhlaq, a human being is a human being. It is because of this good akhlaq. He cares for people. He looks after his people. He's nice to people. He smiles towards people. He's patient with people. He's hospitable towards people. He opens doors for people. He does ikram for people. No, brother, you go before me. In the queue, no, you go ahead of me. No, you do wuzu before me. You go to the washroom before me. No, you come to my house. You must come to my house. Let me do your ikram. Let me help you. Brother, you are in need today. Let me help you. I want to help you. I want to be there for you. People with good akhlaq. People with good akhlaq, with this good akhlaq, a human being is a human being. If a human being does not have good akhlaq, adab hi nahi to hayawan hai. If the human being does not have good akhlaq, then he's an animal. The same human being will become an animal. Laysal jamalu bi aswabin tuzayyinuna. Laysal jamalu bi aswabin tuzayyinuna. Walakinnal jamalu jamalu al-ilmi wal adabi. The Arabic poet, he says, that laysa al-jamalu bi athwabin tuzayyinuna. Beauty, adornment, is not because of the cap that I wear, and the jubba that I wear, or the shirt that I wear, and the jeans that I wear, and the trainers that I wear. This is temporary adornment. This is temporary adornment. Laysa al-jamalu bi athwabin tuzayyinuna. Beauty is not viewed through the garments that we wear, and the garments that don us, and adorn us. ولكن الجمال جمال العلم والأدب. True beauty is the beauty of ilm and adab. Ilm and akhlaq. Knowledge and akhlaq. This is true manners, my dear friends. You take an example in your friend circle. Take an example in your friend circle. One of your friends, he comes and he has the most expensive cap. He has the best shirt on. The best jeans. The best trainers. Nobody in college can afford the trainers that this person wears. And he comes. And when he's with you, he's bad akhlaq. He's always interrupting when you're talking. He's always backbiting about you. He's always putting other people down. Bad akhlaq. Always, I want to be the talk of the town. In the majlis, I want to be talking the most. You know, wherever we go, I have to be in the front. Whenever we go out in the car, I have to sit in the passenger seat right at the front. I have to be there. Me, 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 me. Nobody likes this person. Nobody likes this person. Everyone thinks, yeah, if he's not here, it's better for us. And take your friend's circle again. He's poor. Our friend is poor. He wears the same jubba every day. Same shirt, same trousers every day. Same trainers every day. He's not really a person with status in the people, but he's so good. He's got the best akhlaq. When he opens his packet of crisps, first of all, he'll offer you. No, you take me. No, you drink first, I'll drink after you. No, 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 you sit in the front, I'll sit behind you. No, 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 in the bus, I'll stand up. No, no, you please, you come and sit down. When we have a friend like this around us, we miss him when he is not there. We always want him to be there with us. We always want him to be there. My dear friends, just because people smile towards you, or people still talk to you, don't think to yourselves that, oh, I must be the best of akhlaq. I must have the best akhlaq. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his house. Somebody knocks on the door, he wants to come in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the companions, bi'sa akhul ashira. Bi'sa akhul ashira. This person is a very, very bad person. This person is a very, very bad person. He didn't do ghiba. If you mention a bad quality of somebody for this reason that other people can be safeguarded from his bad quality. Let me tell you an example. Me and my friend, we are sitting over here and now a third person is coming. So I say to my friend, look, you are very rich. That person over there, he's a user. He will come, he will become your friend, he will use you, he will sweet talk you, he will take so much money from you, and then he will use it in the bad avenues. He's got a gambling habit. or he's got an alcohol habit, or he's always going to waste his money on cigarettes and shisha and wasteful endeavors. So keep your distance from him. This is not ghiba. This is not ghiba. I am mentioning the third person's evil quality so I can save my friend from his evil. I can save my friend from his evil. Ghiba would be when I do it without any reason. I mention somebody's bad qualities just to put him down, just to put the other person down. This is ghiba. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this person he comes, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the companions that be careful. He's a very, very bad person. Anyway, he came. When he came to the house, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did his ikram. He put the pillow for him. He presented food to him. It was very, very nice to him. And he spoke to him for a long time. And then he went away. Companion said, "Ya Rasulullah, we're confused. A minute ago or a while ago, before he came, you said, he's a very, very bad person. Be very, very careful. But why did you treat him so nicely? Why did you treat him so nicely?" Allahu Akbar. The answer Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, my dear friends, is worth listening to. He says, "Inna min asharrin nas." He says, "Verily, the most worst of people, from the people, the worst person is he that people only be good to him so that they can be saved from his shar." People are only good to him so that they can be saved from his evil. Let me give you an example. Somebody comes to our masjid, and now this person, if we don't talk to him properly, if we don't entertain him, if we don't sit with him, the same person, he's going to go to our family members, he's going to go to our friends in other towns, and he's going to talk so bad about us. Or, he's here in the masjid today, if we don't make space for him in the front saf, he's going to make a fight in the masjid. He's going to make such a big fuss in the masjid. So everybody says, you know what? The easiest option is, let's just be nice to him, let's make space for him in the front saf, and let him go. We'll say, "Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, finally he's gone." Do you know this person? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he's the worst of people. He's the worst of people, that people are only nice to him because they want to save themselves from his evil and from his shar. So I was saying that don't be deceived when people are nice to us. Many a times people are only nice to us because they can't wait for us to disappear from the scene. They can't wait for us to leave their houses. This is why people be nice to us. My dear friends, we have gone very, very low in our akhlaq. Very, very low in our akhlaq. In schools, in colleges, the teachers, they are fed up of the Muslim students. That, oh, these Muslim students, they're a pain in the back. They are always pricking us like thorns. They are always biting at us. They are making our lives so miserable. I will give you examples of the UK. You know, the Muslim youngsters, when they use the underground, when they use the trains, when they use the buses, people hate it. Because they're the most worst behaved. In schools, many, many times, the Muslims, the worst behave. Many a times, non-Muslims, you will always hear them complaining about us Muslims. Why? They don't just complain for no reason. It's because we have proved ourselves to be so evil, my dear friends. We have gone so bad in our akhlaq, we have proved ourselves to be evil. Look at the difference between us and the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Duras Sahib Hafizahullah, he poses a question. He says, many, many people say that, oh, Islam spread so rapidly in the past. Islam spread so rapidly, so they falsely say, or they object and they say, the reason is that Islam spread by the sword. Islam was spread by force. The Muslims, they put the swords on the necks of people and they said, we're forcing you to accept Islam. So Sheikh says that these non-Muslims, they say or they ask that, oh, was Islam spread by the sword? So Sheikh, he says, they wrongly say that Islam was spread by the sword. So then Sheikh poses a question to the Muslims and he says, was Islam really spread by the sword? He says, was Islam really spread by the sword? He says, yes. Yes. Islam was spread by the sword of good akhlaq. Islam was spread By the sword of good akhlaq. Allahu Akbar. By the sword of good akhlaq. When the non-Muslims interacted with the Muslims, and when the non-Muslims saw the good akhlaq of the Muslims, this ripped their hearts open and Islam went flying into their hearts. Islam went flying into the hearts. Thumamah ibn Usal. The story is long, but when he was wrongly coming to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, they grabbed hold of him and they brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ordered to tie him up to the masjid. Tied him up to the masjid pillar. 3 days he spent in the Masjid al-Nabawi. Thumamah ibn Usal. He was a chief from one of the tribes. 3 days he spent in Masjid al-Nabawi. Every day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to him and he would say, Ya Thumama, Aslim, accept Islam. Thumama wouldn't accept Islam. 1 day went by. 2nd day went by. 3rd day went by. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we've punished him enough. Yani, he's paid for, he was actually in the wrong. Because he was coming to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we've punished him enough, now we can let him go. We can let him go. They let him go. What does Thumama do? Thumama goes to Jannatul Baqi. He takes a bath, comes back to Masjid al-Nabawi and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did he leave? To show the people that I have not been forced to accept Islam. I have not been forced to accept Islam yet. In these 3 days, I have seen such great scenes. Such great scenes I have seen that it won my heart. It won my heart. Many, many people would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before we accepted Islam, your face was the most hated face in our eyes. We did not hate anybody else's face as much as we hated your face before we got to know you. But now when we got to know you and we have accepted Islam, your face has become the most beloved face to our eyes. Even more beloved than our parents is your beloved face of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the good akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 7th year after Hijri, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they conquered Khaybar. They conquered Khaybar. And Khaybar, who was residing in Khaybar? The Jews. And the Jews were staunch enemies of the Muslims. They caused a lot of damage to the Muslims. It was these Jews who instigated the Makkans to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to fight against the Muslims. It was the Jews who instigated the Munafiqeen to go against the Muslims and to plot against the Muslims. The Jews, they had done a lot of damage in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Muslims. Now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has conquered the lands of Khaybar, it's time to take payback time now. It's time to take revenge. What does Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, O Jews of Khaybar, although we have conquered your lands, we still give you permission to live over here. If you want, you can reside over here. You reside over here, you carry on working over here. Although the lands belong to us now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Jews that, you know what, you can live here, and we will guarantee your sustenance for you. We will guarantee your income for you. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, he guaranteed them that whatever we earn, half of it will go to you and half of it will go to you. Half share they gave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would constantly send Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and he would go and he would say to the Jews, this is half, this is half. You choose whichever half you want to take, you take it. You choose whatever half you want to take, you take it. At the time of the conquest of Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters into Makkah Mukarramah. He enters into Makkah Mukarramah, and Abu Sufyan, who at that time had not accepted Islam yet, he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Muhammad, is it true? O Muhammad, is it true that we heard somebody say from your delegations, from the people who were walking in one by one, who were walking in Makkah Mukarramah, we heard somebody say, Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama, today is going to be a very bloody day, a day of bloodshed. Is it true? One of your Muslims are saying you are going to shed a lot of blood in Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became extremely angry. And he said, who made this announcement? Who made this announcement? Al-Yawma Yawmul Malhama, today is not the day of bloodshed. Al-Yawmu Yawmul Marhama. Al-Yawmu Yawmul Marhama, today is the day when we will show mercy to everybody. Today is that day, not malhama with a lam inside, marhama with a ra inside. Marhama is made from the word mercy. Al-yawmu yawmul marhama. Today we will manifest our mercy to you. We will show you how merciful us Muslims will be. And Prophet ﷺ said, whoever enters into this house, he will be at peace. Whoever enters into the haram, he will be at peace. Whoever enters into his house, he will be at peace. Rasulullah ﷺ gave peace to everybody, my dear friends. This were the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the akhlaq of the Muslims before us. And that's why Islam enjoyed the days of glory. Islam enjoyed the days of glory and Islam spread so rapidly, my dear friends. As Muslims, due to our akhlaq, so many people, they are reluctant to accept Islam. Reluctant to accept Islam. My Shaykh, he tells us of his own experience. He says, once I met a German person and he was a new Muslim. He was a new Muslim. So Shaykh asked him, how did you accept Islam? Tell me your story of Islam. So that person said that, oh Shaykh, I thank Allah that I met Islam before the Muslims. I thank Allah that I met Islam before the Muslims. For if I would have met the Muslims before Islam, I would have never accepted Islam. Yani, I studied Islam myself. I researched Islam, I read so many books, and I found Islam in the books, and Islam won my heart. Otherwise, if I would have gone looking for Islam in the Muslims, I found them so bad akhlaq, I would have never accepted Islam. A Muslim himself is saying this. After accepting Islam, a Muslim, after experiencing the akhlaq of the believers, this is what the Muslim is saying. Carry on with the few points I was mentioning, my dear friends. Next one. There's an ajeeb point about good akhlaq. This ibadah of good akhlaq is so great that it's a unique ibadah. This ibadah is a unique ibadah. No other ibadah can make up the deficiency of good akhlaq. Let me give you an example. If on the day of judgment, you see in your book of deeds that there is some deficiency in your farz salah. There is some deficiency in your farz salah. Allah will tell the angels that, look, has my servant performed any optional namaz, any optional salah? If he has performed any optional salah, then use his optional salah to make up the deficiency of the farz. This will happen on the day of judgment. And that's why you should pray as much as sunnah, as much as nafil as you can, because this will work as bonus for us on the day of judgment. Allah will use this to cover up the deficiency of farz. But akhlaq is something that no other ibadah, no other amal can make up the deficiency of akhlaq. Actually, all your other ibadat remain weightless without akhlaq. Without akhlaq, your amal will remain weightless. And this I am saying to you in the light of the ahadith. Once two women were mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One woman, she said so much ibadah. تَقُومُ اللَّيْلَ وَتَصُومُ النَّهَارِ. All night she stands in tahajjud. The companion said, oh Rasulullah, explain to us with regards to these two women. Comment with regards to these two women. One of them, تَقُومُ اللَّيْلَ وَتَصُومُ النَّهَارِ. All night she stands in tahajjud. All day she fasts. She fasts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But she is very, very evil to her neighbors. She is very, very bad to her neighbors. She gives so much takleef, so much grief, and so much trouble to her neighbors. And another woman, she goes to sleep on time. Prays Isha, prays Fajr, goes to sleep on time. Never keeps any optional fast. But she is so kind to her neighbors. She is so kind to her neighbors. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, first one will go Jahannam, second one will go to Jannah. First one, despite spending the whole night in tahajjud and the whole day in fasting, my dear friends, because her akhlaq were not there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says she will have to spend time in the fire of Jahannam. And the second one, no optional deeds, never tahajjud, never fasting optional during the days, but because her akhlaq was so good, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said she will go into Jannah. This akhlaq is so great. Next point, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua for this akhlaq. Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. When he would look in the mirror, he would say that, oh Allah, you have perfected my outer features. You have perfected my outer characteristics, my outer features. Fahassin khuluqi, oh Allah, beautify and perfect my inner features. We should make this dua as well, that, oh Allah, you have made us, you have given us the most perfect eyes, ears, nose, body, the structure, oh Allah, you have made us in ahsan taqweem. You have made us in the best way. Oh Allah, fahassin khuluqi. Oh Allah, make, beautify my akhlaq for me as well. And my dear friends, it was upon this basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praises Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the glorious Quran. What does He say? Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon, wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnoon, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Allah Ta'ala praises Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the creator. Allah Ta'ala is praising the creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on this foundation, or due to this reason, that you are on a very, very high level of akhlaq. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on a very, very exalted character, on a very, very exalted level of characteristics. My dear friends, let us take heed from these important points that we had to share today, from the Quran, from the Hadith, from the teachings of our Sharia, which explain to us how important our akhlaq are, my dear friends. It's very, very important that we work on our akhlaq, we work on our sabr, we learn to tolerate other people, we learn to be patient, we learn to be courteous to other people, we learn to do ikram of other people, we learn to respect other people, not when I have my benefit, I will respect him, and I will show him ikram, and I will show him love. And where I don't have my ulterior motive, where I don't have my benefit, then I lose all my akhlaq all of a sudden. No, my dear friends. We can sacrifice everything. We can sacrifice everything from the dunya, everything we can sacrifice. But a Muslim should never sacrifice his akhlaq, my dear friends. Muslim should never ever sacrifice his akhlaq. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He beautifies our akhlaq. He takes our akhlaq to the best level, to the most perfect level, so that our iman can be the most perfected, so that this akhlaq can be the most heaviest for us tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. And through this akhlaq, we can become the most beloved to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and be the most closest to Him tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Was salatu was salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa khatamin nabiyyin. Allahumma lakal hamdu hamdan da'iman ma'a dawamik. Wa lakal hamdu hamdan khalidan ma'a khuludik. Wa lakal hamdu hamdan la muntaha له دون مشيتك ولك الحمد حمدا لا يريد قائله إلا رضاك اللهم لك الحمد كالذي تقول وخيرا مما نقول ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت وأنت على كل شيء قدير اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك ويا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إليك ربنا فحببنا وفي أنفسنا لك ربنا فذللنا وفي أعين الناس فعظمنا ومن سيئ الأخلاق فجنبنا ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا وعلى صالح الأعمال فقومنا وعلى صالح الأعمال فقومنا وعلى الأعداء أعدائك أعداء الإسلام فانصرنا اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا أبدا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا أرحم الراحمين Oh the most merciful of merciful ones Oh the most merciful of merciful ones Oh Allah Oh Dhul Jalal wal Ikram Oh Allah have mercy upon us Oh Allah shower your mercy upon us Oh Allah shower your mercy upon us Oh Allah shower your forgiveness upon us Oh Allah forgive our sins Oh Allah forgive our sins Oh Allah forgive our sins Oh Allah whatever sins we have done in the past Major minor sins we have done in the past Oh Allah whatever sins we have done in front of people Oh Allah whatever sins we have done hidden away from people Oh Allah whatever sins we have done publicly privately Oh Allah whatever sins we have done in the darknesses of the night Oh Allah whatever sins we have done in the light of the day Oh Allah whatever sins we have done intentionally or unintentionally Oh Allah forgive our sins Oh Allah you are aware of all of our sins Oh Allah many sins we are unaware that we have committed in our lives Oh Allah you are aware of all of these sins Oh Allah forgive us our sins Oh Allah forgive us our sins Oh Allah you have promised us that when we do true tawbah Oh Allah when we seek true repentance from you then Oh Allah you erase these sins from our book of deeds as well Oh Allah you are so merciful Oh Allah you have promised us that when we do sincere tawbah Oh Allah when we seek true forgiveness from you, O Allah, you erase our sins from the memories of the angels. O Allah, you are so merciful. O Allah, you are Sattar. O Allah, you are the most concealing. O Allah, you are the most merciful. O Allah, you are Ghafir. O Allah, you are Ghafoor. O Allah, you are Ghaffar. O Allah, please forgive our sins. O Allah, accept our Tawbah. O Allah, accept our Tawbah. O Allah, forgive our sins. O Allah, do not let our sins be a means of disgrace. Grace for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tomorrow on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, tomorrow on the day of judgment, He will come to do sifarish for us. Oh Allah, He will come to intercede for us. But oh Allah, if our a'mal were not right, oh Allah, if our akhlaq were not right, then the angels will not let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercede on our behalf. Oh Allah, save us from this scene on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, save us from this scene on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, before that time comes when we are lowered into our graves, oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to turn to you sincerely. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to turn to you in repentance. And oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to ask forgiveness from you. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to improve our ways. Oh Allah, we are weak. Oh Allah, we are prone to so much fitna. Oh Allah, we are exposed to so much fitna around us. Oh Allah, we are weak. Oh Allah, we cannot save ourselves. Oh Allah, you are the only one who can save us. Oh Allah, save us and keep us guided on the right path. Oh Allah, save us and keep us guided on the right path. Oh Allah, save us and keep us guided on the right path. Oh Allah, so many Muslims today, so many young Muslims of North America. Oh Allah, many of them, they are not even fasting in the months of Ramadan. Oh Allah, they are so neglectful. Oh Allah, they break their fast. Oh Allah, they are so neglectful. Never do they come to the masjid for the Taraweeh prayer. Oh Allah, they are so neglectful. Oh Allah, they are so far from your deen. Oh Allah, they are so far from your deen. Oh Allah, fetch these people out from these lives of darknesses. And oh Allah, bring them into the noor of Islam. Oh Allah, bring them into the beauty of Islam. Oh Allah, bring them into the beauty of deen. Oh Allah, attach them to you. Oh Allah, reconnect them to you. Oh Allah, like catapults, Oh Allah, sling them back to your zat. Oh Allah, reconnect them back to you. Oh Allah, make us a means of bringing so many people closer to you. Oh Allah, make us a means of bringing so many of our friends closer to you. Oh Allah, make us a means of bringing so many people into your blessed and beloved house. Oh Allah, forgive our sins. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our parents. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our family members. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of each and every every Muslim. Oh Allah, oh Allah, grant hidayah to the non-Muslims, and oh Allah, bring them into the beauty of Islam, bring them into the nur of Islam. Oh Allah, many, many people in this blessed month of Ramadan, they have requested us to make du'as for them. Oh Allah, you are aware of all of their needs. Oh Allah, fulfill all of their jais and halal needs for them. Oh Allah, fulfill all of their jais and halal needs for them. Oh Allah, those who are going through difficult times, oh Allah, those who are grieved, oh Allah, remove their grief from them. Oh Allah, remove the difficulty from them. Oh Allah, you are aware of our difficulties more than us. Oh Allah, you are aware of our needs more than us. Oh Allah, fulfill our needs for us. Oh Allah, fulfill our needs for us. Oh Allah, do not ever make us muhtaj and dependent on anybody else. Oh Allah, you are, oh Allah, we want to remain depending on you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, we want to remain dependent on you. Oh Allah, do not let us go begging to anybody else. Oh Allah, whenever we need anything, oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to come begging on your door. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to come begging on your door. Oh Allah, we have our youth program tomorrow night. Oh Allah, send many, many youngsters to the masjid tomorrow night. Send many, many Muslims to participate in our program tomorrow night. Oh Allah, we have a program every day after Fajr and Asr. Oh Allah, send many, many people to the masjid so they can benefit from these words. They can benefit from the words, your beautiful words and the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, those of our parents who are still alive, oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to do their khidmah. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to do their khidmah. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to respect them. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to do their ikram. Oh Allah, grant us the, oh Allah, grant their sweet shade upon us for a very, very long time. And oh Allah, those of our parents who have passed away, those who have reached your mercy, oh Allah, those who have already, oh Allah, those who have already come to you, oh Allah, have mercy on them. Oh Allah, have mercy on them. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to do such good a'mal that, oh Allah, they are pleased with us from their qabr. Oh Allah, let us do such great amal so they remain pleased with us in their qabr. Oh Allah, whatever we have asked from you, oh Allah, grant it to us. Oh Allah, whatever we haven't asked from you but we should have asked from you, oh Allah, grant it to us as well. Oh Allah, many, many Muslims all around the world, oh Allah, many, many Muslims are going through difficult times. Oh Allah, they are grieved. Oh Allah, they are going through terrible times. Oh Allah, they have become victims of injustice. Oh Allah, they have become victims of injustice. Oh Allah, they have become victims to oppressors. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remove oppression from them. Oh Allah, remove injustice from them. Oh Allah, grant them justice. Oh Allah, grant them shelter. Oh Allah, rejoin them with their families. Oh Allah, many, many women they have cut off from their husbands. Oh Allah, many, many children they have lost their parents. Oh Allah, have mercy upon these people. Oh Allah, have mercy upon these people. Oh Allah, we are so grateful to you that us Muslims of Canada, us Muslims of the UK, us Muslims of the West, oh Allah, you give us the tawfiq to support these people in need. Oh Allah, give us more and more tawfiq to support these people in need. Oh Allah, give us more tawfiq, and oh Allah, accept this from us. Oh Allah, whatever little or great we send towards them, oh Allah, accept it from us. And oh Allah, let it get to the right avenues and let it benefit Muslims and non-Muslims all around the world. Oh Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين ورحمتك يا رب العالمين.